bring Coach Johnson in, it drives coaches crazy when something you've been working on since fall camp, and this busts you up in the most critical moment.
Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Great. How y'all doing?
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, just from an analytical point of view, you know, what you saw from that Florida and Alabama game, and just some of the things Florida did on defense. I mentioned they brought, you know, Cunningham, one of their best edge rusher, over on the other side, so he went up against Alabama's right tackle instead of Andre Smith, and also the play of their corners, Joe Harden and Janoris Jenkins, who's only a freshman, and I thought they did a phenomenal job, you know, in locking down the Alabama receivers.
Well, they did, you know, especially in a situation with all that pressure, and you know, it's just, you know, pretty, I would say, clutch play by Florida when they had to make the plays and get the ball back, and then Florida's offense did a good job after that, keeping the ball away from them. So you got to have it all. You got to play well on both sides. But you know, obviously those coaching staff did a great job of utilizing their personnel and making sure they had the right people making the plays.
And you know, it's one thing to have that great speed and that great talent, but Florida matched Alabama's physicality, which a lot of people wondered about, and Florida actually wore them down in the fourth quarter, which is something none of us thought might happen.
Well, you know, Florida's got about the same amount of talent on their first team and second team, and maybe even close to their third team or whatever. So, you know, they can put them in there and keep the same level of excellence on the field, you know, the whole game. And, you know, it's hard for most teams to match. Now, you know, I would look at Oklahoma. I haven't seen them play hardly any, you know, but I would think they're going to have the same type of athletes and, you know, the same kind of depth. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I think the BCS has done it again. It's going to be, you know, nothing but talk about college football for the next month and, you know, a lot of speculation, and I think that's one of the goals of the BCS.
Do you remember a player that plays beyond his stats more than a Tim Tebow does, that you look at his numbers and you don't really understand what kind of player he is until you watch his impact on the game and on his team?
True, because he does so many different things. I mean, he runs it, he throws it, you know, he pitches it on the option. He's a short yardage runner, you know, so you don't see that many times in a quarterback. So he does so many things well, you know, that, like you say, the numbers aren't gaudy, but the results are.
You know, and as coaches, you're always looking for leaders and guys on a team who will step up and get the others to, you know, play maybe beyond what they're capable of doing, or at least they think. How much do you appreciate that when you watch Tebow play?
A lot. You know, but there's a lot of guys who want to talk that stuff, but, you know, somebody's got to be able to talk it and do it, and he does it. I mean, he performs in the clutch, and he gets other people to do the same thing. And if you just got a guy out there, you know, being a cheerleader and say, hey, y'all need to do this, y'all need to do that, it's just a little bit different. But the message he sends is right down the pike. It's, you know, do what I'm doing. Do it as well as I'm doing it.
Well, you'll go right down West End Avenue and over to LP Field for the bowl game, and I guess a trip out to Opryland for a few days before that. But, you know, now your opponent's going to be Boston College, and Joe was telling us earlier that, you know, you guys in preparing for Wake Forest even looked at a little bit of Boston College tape as you kind of compared notes.
Well, we did, but we weren't looking at Boston
College. Right, right. You're looking at Wake Forest.
We were looking at Wake Forest, but we do have that in the system right now. And in fact, I got it up on my computer right now, and they're very physical, you know, as Boston College has always been. You know, they're sound. They don't make huge mistakes. You know, you have to beat them. They don't beat themselves most of the time. So about the only time they did was that Wake Forest game we saw them play. They had three turnovers that Wake Forest turned into touchdowns and beat them. So hopefully we can get some turnovers and make them play badly, but that's going to be a tall order.
Bobby, you have to respect the fact they lost. And we're speaking to Bobby Johnson, of course, head football coach at Vanderbilt, his team going to its first bowl game in over two decades. And Bobby, you really have to admire BC. They lost its starting quarterback, Chris Crane, and they still, you know, rolled down the stretch with four straight wins.
Sure. That's the mark of a good program is if you got depth and you can get guys in there to take over, and they prepared, they watch the guy who's ahead of them in practice, and they learn from him. And when you have that situation, that guy's ready to step up. And he's athletic. I know that. I just saw a little bit of the championship game the other day because we were getting ready for practice, but. It's going to be a challenge. They've got good players, and they have a winning tradition. I think they've, won 11 bowls in a row?
Good grief.
I think.
And the coach, Jeff Jagodzinski, came from the NFL, came from the Packers, replaced Tom O'Brien, a highly respected coach, a guy I know that from being in the business, who went to NC State and did a great job last year with them and has continued this year. Having to replace Matt Ryan, and we know how good he is from what he's done with the Falcons this year.
Sure, yeah, but like I said, they've got tradition. They've got they expect to do well, and I think it shows that they're a very confident team, and they think they're going to win.
Bobby Johnson is our guest, and you talk about this whole process of getting the bowl bid and everything, and everybody pretty much thought it was going to be the Music City Bowl or the Liberty Bowl. How much were you kept in the loop on what all was going on as far as the negotiations and who was going to pick which team and who might go where?
Well, it was just all speculation, I think, until the championship game in the Southeastern Conference was decided, just to make sure that we were going to get two teams in the BCS bowls, and then after that, you could sort of narrow it down. But to tell you the truth, I was, trying to get practice ready, and David Williams and was doing such a great job with it that I just waited to hear, just like everybody else, and we all sort of, figured it out. But right down to the end, I was actually on the practice field when they called.
Bobby, how are you going to kind of go about your schedule? Do you kind of rely on some people on your staff, your coaches, or anyone in the in your fraternity, basically, to kind of go about the right schedule? Or have you always had a kind of an idea of what you wanted to accomplish? And we talked about this last week about you guys, you still want the players to enjoy this and realize this is a reward and it's not all just a dread going to work and more practice.
Right. Well, several members on my staff were at NC State, and I think they went to 9 bowls in 11 years. So they've got a lot of experience, and I'll, we'll sit down and we'll map it out. We've already done it, to tell you the truth. And we've got a different situation than most people. I mean, we've got a long week of exams coming up, starting this Wednesday, that we've got to get through. And then, after that, you only have so many opportunities to practice, and we'll try to take advantage of each one of them. But, again, you're right. We want our guys to enjoy it. But when we're actually on the field, and we expect them to concentrate and work hard and do what we're asking them to do, because we're not going to, make this thing a Bataan death march.
No three-a-days?
No, the time we're out there. But the time we're out there on the field, because we're doing it this way, we want them to concentrate and make sure they're getting that game plan down as well as we can, because we want to win the football game. And we think that's very important. We're in Nashville. We're in our hometown. It's the first time we've played in the bowl since 82. We think we have a responsibility to a lot of people to go out there and play well.
Many have said that guesting on this show is like the Bataan death march.
not quite that long. Same misery.
It ends after 15 minutes, Bobby. Don't worry.
I ran into one of your assistant coaches at the airport the other day, and he was heading on a recruiting trip. For this, extra month that you're going to get extra exposure for your program, the practice time and everything, how valuable is that as you try to attract new players to your program?
I think it's huge. We're trying to finish out a recruiting class right now. We've got several commitments, and we're trying to fill it out. But I think that'll help us do it. But I think it's going to be a bigger impact on next year's recruiting class, because we are pretty far ahead of the game in commitments right now. So, you know, next year, next spring, when we go out and recruit and bring guys to camp in the summer, I think the fact that we, you know, played in a bowl is going to be a huge thing. And we've told these guys for several years that that was the next step we wanted to make in our program, and we feel like we're on schedule, and, you know, bigger and better players can help us get there quicker.